Patents were taken out by Edison. When the entire job was finished, Tesla requested the $50,000 which he had been promised. Edison, however, claimed that the agreement had been merely a joke, whereupon Tesla resigned his job immediately. The Strasbourg incident had been repeated. It was the year of 1885. Had Tesla known the heartaches that lay ahead, he might not have had the courage to continue his efforts to provide alternating current for a world that seemed to offer him nothing but scorn. Looking back over Tesla's entire life, it can be seen that he never capitulated to the evil money system which prevails on this planet. Again and again, just as he was about to grasp and use the contaminated medium of exchange, it was snatched from him. This left Tesla free, but the karma engendered descended upon humanity. Even today, 15 years after Tesla's death, humanity still awaits the Superman's great inventions which could give untold comfort to physical plane existence. And the reason? A lack of funds adequate to develop the inventions on a worldwide scale. Tesla would settle for nothing short of global operations, bring help to all the peoples of their Earth. It is very significant that he wished to encompass the planet with his work, and in the case of the interplanetary communications set, the solar system. Being a Venusian, he could not produce inventions that would remain Earthbound. The Superman was restless to grasp the extended hand of interplanetary friendship, to prepare the dark star of Earth for its great cosmic initiation into solar freedom. But in 1885, the financial world was not ready to give up its evil interest in the dark star. It perhaps is even less ready today, but today the Christ forces have all dark manipulators on the run, and happily for humanity, it will be the last run. The forces of light are now able to stand firmly on the side of humanity and fight evil to a finish. In 1885, financial matters were handled with shrewdness and cunning. Honesty was easily set aside by the fortune makers of the day. At this time, a group of promoters offered to finance a small company to promote Tesla. They were to pay him a modest salary and were to reward him on a grand scale with stock in the company. He thought he saw an opportunity to develop alternating current, but once the company had been formed, Tesla was obliged to develop an arc light for street and factory illumination. It was to be a type of light which the promoters could use to further certain schemes of expansion. The light was developed and Tesla took out patents on his design. However, the company had been organized in such a tricky manner that when Tesla was awarded his stock, he soon found it to be worthless. The promoters prospered and Tesla was left without funds. He then struck bottom in his American venture, for by the year of 1887 he was actually forced to dig ditches and take other laboring jobs at $2 a day. But even this provided the ladder on which he climbed to success, for the foreman in charge of the ditch digging recognized Tesla as a man of genius. He introduced him to Mr. A.K. Brown of the Western Union Telegraph Company. Mr. Brown, in turn, interested a friend in Tesla. The two men put up sufficient money to finance the Tesla Electric Company. In April of 1887, Tesla opened his own laboratory and workshop on South Fifth Avenue, now West Broadway, and found himself a neighbor of Edison. Edison had turned down Tesla's idea for alternating current, striving to boost the prestige of direct current. Yet, in the end, Tesla won the competitive fight, despite the fact that he was backed by limited funds while Edison was financed by J.P. Morgan. Tesla's hour had struck, and ever thereafter the dark star was to be illumined by his incomparable genius. It is impossible, even today, to evaluate the virgin field of electrical science which Tesla explored within a few months after his new laboratory was opened. The United States Patent Office could not easily grasp the scope of his work. They considered his inventions so original and so basic that they simply started issuing a succession of patents that brought the new age of power to birth in one mighty surge of advancement. The entire electrical world of 1887 was engulfed by the sweeping new advance. It can now be seen in retrospect that in the 70 years which have since elapsed, civilization has not yet absorbed even the basic fundamental scientific achievements produced by Tesla. As for the philosophy of Tesla, it is hardly known that he had anything to offer in that field, as perhaps he did not. for his philosophy had already been presented by Jesus. Since Western minds had failed to grasp even the basic teachings offered down through the countless centuries by the hierarchy, and then had ignored the true meanings underlying the work of Jesus, it is abundantly clear why Tesla did not bother to waste his time tossing pearls. Within 6 months after Tesla opened his laboratory in 1887, he applied to the patent office for a single patent covering his entire electrical system which he had designed at that time. The patent office was overwhelmed by this package deal and insisted that Tesla break his single patent down into 7 parts. This was done, and in April of 1888 he applied for 5 more patents which were granted. Toward the end of 1888 he was issued 18 additional patents. By this time the entire scientific world was not only amazed, but completely baffled by the sudden manner in which their cherished concepts were swept away overnight. It was not easy to make such a quick and monumental adjustment to new values, especially in view of the fact that many of the scientists and technicians of the day, then as now, prided themselves on being strong-minded, free-thinking men who were capable of standing on their 2 feet and meeting the issues of the day. They also prided themselves on being God-fearing men, independent men, who, if they wished to invent a machine, could do so without calling upon the aid of the Creator. But in some mysterious fashion the Creator had somehow got back on the job through Tesla, so these God-fearing men looked everywhere for the answer except in the right place. For a man who fears God can never love him, and a man who places God on a pedestal high in the sky is most certainly in fear of him. The only way to love God is to bring his energy down into dense matter by lowering their vibration, and then anchor it there. The early Rutraces heard the answer, as did Tesla. The social gossips of the day back in 1888 also had their word to say about Tesla. To them he was at once the most fascinating and the most aggravating of men. He did not share their interest, and they couldn't seem to find a way of sharing his. It was incomprehensible to them that a man of such cosmopolitan tastes could overlook them so completely, so utterly. So far as women were concerned, Tesla was considered to be the world's most eligible bachelor. Ambitious mothers and anxious daughters hovered close, or at least let us say they tried. But no one ever got close to Tesla. So far as women were concerned, Tesla was constantly inventing machines which could be manufactured and sold. This stamped the sign of the dollar indelibly upon him. Over the years, the Tesla marriage money subject became a topic of international conversation. The next momentous Tesla development came on May 16, 1888, when, in response to an invitation, he gave a lecture and demonstration before the American Institute of Electrical Engineers. This lecture served notice upon the entire world that the greatest genius of the age had brought his discoveries to fruition, presenting civilization with alternating current, and thus setting electricity geographically free. Under Edison's direct current system, it was necessary to have a powerhouse in the center of every square mile, or even closer in large cities. This presented an impossible situation if electricity was to become a planetary source of power as Tesla visualized. Tesla had no desire to develop his invention commercially, for he preferred to spend his time in research. He knew that the very inventions which he was in the process of patenting would become obsolete in a short time if he could continue his research. Edison fought resolutely to maintain the prestige of direct current, for he had invented the incandescent electric lamp, and in order to sell the lamps he had to make electricity available so that the lamps could be used. Moreover, Edison's financial interests were tied completely to those of J.P. Morgan, and Edison was not free to pursue any course except the strictly commercial one. When Tesla gave his famous lecture on May 16, 1888, George Westinghouse was already well known as the inventor of an air brake for trains and of many other electrical devices. He had made a fortune in exploiting his own inventions. He was a man of tremendous vision, and he immediately recognized the vast possibilities, commercially and geographically, of Tesla's alternating current system. Shortly thereafter he contacted Tesla for an interview. In a matter of minutes Westinghouse agreed to pay Tesla $1 million outright for the alternating current patents, plus a royalty of $1 per horsepower, It was Westinghouse, therefore, who seized the opportunity to develop Tesla's patents which would supply electricity to the entire world. In the few moments required to negotiate the deal, a friendship was formed between the two men which, in its magnificence and trust, was of transcendent beauty. As things worked out, the friendship was almost the only happy development that resulted from the meeting, but as the years passed, Tesla never betrayed the slightest bitterness or regret over misfortunes that came to both of them as a result of their cooperation. Tesla spent a useless, weary year in Pittsburgh attempting to get Westinghouse launched in his manufacturing efforts, but finally refused to remain longer. The Westinghouse engineers, accustomed to their own way of doing things, were baffled and confused by Tesla's magic. Tesla in turn had no way of communicating with the men since he could not get down to their level of understanding. Tesla was a great teacher of philosophy to certain individuals. He was also a great teacher of what might be called cosmic engineering, again to certain individuals. But he selected these individuals personally. They were disciples, but they were already active disciples for the forces of light. To expect Tesla to go into a manufacturing plant and teach a group of American engineers at all stages of evolutionary development was, of course, ridiculous. But perhaps even Tesla did not realize the scope of his own greatness, and the intellectual gap which existed as a barrier between him and those of Earth who had not yet attained discipleship. At any rate, after his departure from the Pittsburgh plant, the Westinghouse engineers worked out their own problems, and eventually the manufacturing process got underway. Tesla returned to his own laboratory in New York, to his beloved research. A wealthy man, free from the need for commercialism. This freedom was for him the greatest triumph that might come to a human soul. Working again on research for his polyphase power system, he was granted 45 patents in this country during the next 4 years, in addition to more than 100 in foreign countries. Page 123. Edison had long been busy aiming competitive lances in all directions. He was strictly a commercial money-making man. He was untrained in the science of electrical engineering and, therefore, had to depend upon those whose services he could get for hire. He was tied, hand and foot, to the value of the dollar and was thereby forced into the role of a huckster. He could never shake himself free from the clutches of the monkey on his back in the form of the J.P. Morgan interests, although there is no evidence to show that he desired to do so. Some men are destined to play the role of the organ grinder. It does not lie within the karmic patterns of all men to compose great music. Edison had tangled with Westinghouse on many occasions. But when it was discovered that Westinghouse, capable and far-visioned, a successful inventor and a successful businessman, had taken on the task of developing Tesla's alternating current, the battle took on a new and fiercer phase. It was at this time that the New York State prison authorities stepped openly into the white magic field of electricity, and turned it into a field of black magic almost overnight. They adopted alternating current as developed by Tesla for the electrocution of condemned prisoners. Tesla claimed that the Edison interest had engineered the project to discredit alternating current. There was more than a little truth in this, although that was probably not the original purpose. For the Edison interest, anxious to make a dollar even one jump ahead of the undertaker, had tried to provide direct current to power the electric chair. But they had failed, because the plain fact of the matter was that direct current could not be produced at the high voltages required. All this was lost on the public, however, as their Edison interests proclaimed from the housetops that the prison's choice of current was proof of the deadly danger of Tesla's invention. Now we can look back and realize that this victory of the forces of darkness, operating from the astral plane directly through the prison authorities, touched off a retrogressive movement which has since carried certain aspects of civilization back to evil days which have not been known on this planet since the sinking of Atlantis. Now people like to look back to the pre-atomic age, and blame the nuclear scientists for the present destructive threat to humanity. But nuclear scientists would not have had a ghost of a chance of exercising their black magic, Had not the road to darkness been well paved already by black magicians long in control on the astral plane? The New York State prison authorities cooperated to the hilt in assisting the black magicians to take over control of the alternating current invention, and all humanity has suffered by being robbed, and robbed, and robbed of the true advantages of the invention since that dreadful day. The control by black magicians and their tools has since been broken on the inner planes, and even the tools will soon be eliminated from the physical plane. The Christ forces, assisted by the angelic kingdom, have seized and removed all black magicians from the planet. Their human tools still exist on the physical plane, by the thousands, but their nefarious endeavors will be smashed down as soon as the Seventh Ray has done a bit more of its beneficent work of transmutation. While New York State prison authorities were busying themselves in an all-out effort to lower the planetary vibrations by using electricity, the third aspect of God, or the Holy Spirit, to electrocute condemned prisoners, George Westinghouse prepared to use the Tesla invention of alternating current to put the entire United States on an electrical power basis. Tesla, meanwhile, back at his research, set about to make obsolete his earlier inventions, and place the entire world on one simple electrical system which would enable all of God's children, from the Arctic to the Antarctic, to have light. More abundant light and living advantages. The year had turned to 1891. Tesla and Westinghouse were firmly aligned with the divine plan, and their combined energies were enabling a tiny portion of this plan to manifest. But where there is light in action on this dark star, it is always consuming darkness. In other words, there has not yet come a time when we could say that we had a safe dividend of light left over for intelligent, constructive uses. Every unit of light released by disciples on this planet must still be used to illumine the suffering atoms wherein evil is bottled up in the form of astral debris. In 1891, the karma that was being engendered by the New York State prison authorities alone was so dense in its accumulation that the forces of darkness were enabled to sweep into the alternating current field without hindrance. The black leaders were reinforced by a vast horde of disembodied criminals from the astral plane, bent on vengeance. They struck savagely at Westinghouse, for his company alone would supply the nation with alternating current, providing great wealth to Tesla for years to come in the form of horsepower royalties. The dense overshadowing of the Westinghouse financial advisors commenced. In those days, little was known all about astral influences, and when the deluded, bewitched money men went into a panic, they merely thought they were being astute financial wizards. Here was a picture of little big shots, utterly dazzled by the mocking brilliance of their own arrogance. A number of quick mergers with smaller companies took place, and a new unit was formed, known as the Westinghouse Electric and Manufacturing Company. But before this deal was finalized, the financial group put George Westinghouse on the spot, and told him that he was to destroy his contract with Tesla. The alternative? The money men would destroy the Westinghouse organization as it existed at that time. The financial wizards were crazed by their astral overshadowing, and goaded into a greedy desire to consume all. They were adamant in their determination to share no profits with anyone. Not even the goose Tesla, who had laid the golden egg. Against this mighty army of darkness, George Westinghouse stood out like a giant pillar of light. But a lone giant. The financial interest was set to see the company destroyed rather than yield a single dollar in horsepower royalty to Tesla. But even one on the side of the forces of light is in itself a victorious majority against evil. Westinghouse firmly grasped the scales of justice, and he went direct to Tesla and humbly told the story of his seeming defeat. Tesla quickly turned it into a spiritual triumph that will ring down through the years as a cosmic moment in which two men touched divinity. Standing there before Westinghouse, Tesla smiled serenely and tore up his contract without a trace of bitterness. At that moment he was entitled to at least $12 million in royalties, but he tossed the scraps of his contract into the wastebasket. He had saved the Westinghouse organization, and Westinghouse would give his polyphase system to the world. The bankers could satisfy their love for money. today this unfortunate planet is still reaping the black harvest from the seeds scattered far and wide by the bewitched money men. It has been said often that failure to pay horsepower royalties to Tesla proved to be the greatest handicap to scientific and industrial progress which the human race has ever experienced on this globe. In this year of 1958, the United States and all allied nations of the world are wondering why scientific superiority has been lost in recent years. The answer is simple. The pattern of events is not difficult to trace. Karmic law was set in motion by the New York State Prison using Tesla's alternating current invention to electrocute condemned prisoners. The karmic debt thus incurred precipitated at the point where alternating current development was centered. Tesla was a white magician and was protected against direct attack by the dark forces. He could be reached only indirectly. But the Westinghouse organization, through its money system, was wide open. The dark forces were able to attack freely through that open channel. This imperiled the work of Tesla, but since it was society that connived to support the prison authorities and their nefarious work, it is society that has had to suffer the karmic results. America allowed the Tesla inventions to be misused. It is America that must pay the karmic debt through a decline in scientific achievement. A very few years after Tesla and Westinghouse made their historic decision, Tesla was a global intellectual giant of such stature that he could easily, with the use of his inventions and discoveries, have swung this planet from evil to goodness, from darkness to light, from ignorance to illumination. But society, in its utter complacency, preferred prison methods to the methods of a Venusian initiate. And so the mills of the gods continued to grind slowly, awaiting the incoming seventh ray which would bring the cleansing violet fire of transmutation to the dark star. After the financial setback engineered by the Westinghouse money men, Tesla never again had sufficient funds to develop in inventions. On many occasions his co-workers begged him to develop some small aspect of his inventions in order to make money to support his greater discoveries, but Tesla always refused to spend his time on what he termed small stuff. He had no desire to benefit a few people. He desired only to benefit humanity. Some of his co-workers felt that he was just being stubborn, but Tesla wisely knew his proper course. It must be remembered that another great initiate by the name of Jesus also tried to sell society on the idea of a better world. In this year of 1958, Jesus is still patiently waiting for the majority to join the minority in the support of his efforts. Tesla was well acquainted with the work of Jesus, and with the work of hundreds of other initiates who had made supreme sacrifices for a belligerent and ungrateful humanity. Sanat Kumara waited 19 million years for the prodigal sons of Earth to grow weary of consuming their husks. Intuitively, Tesla knew that he, too, could await the day of man's great awakening. When Tesla was nearly 80 years of age, he was asked to give a speech before the Institute of Immigrant Welfare, which, at a dinner meeting at the hotel Biltmore on May 12, 1938, was to present the great inventor with an honorary citation. Tesla wrote out a speech which was read at their dinner because he did not feel equal to attending in person. He had not only survived through many, many years of extreme poverty, but he had been ridiculed for failing to commercialize his inventions. He was often unable to pay his hotel bills, and was forced to move frequently, leaving his luggage until friends could assist him to get settled in another lodging place. Yet with this specter of poverty always dogging at his heels, he gazed without rancor at a world which had waxed wealthy out of the power he had made available. And so on the occasion of the Biltmore dinner he paid tribute to Westinghouse in the magnificent testimonial to the heartfelt friendship which had always existed between the two men. George Westinghouse was, in my opinion, the only man on this globe who could take my alternating current system under the circumstances then existing and win the battle against prejudice and money power. He was a pioneer of imposing stature, one of the world's true noblemen of whom America may well be proud and to whom humanity owes an immense debt of gratitude. So it was at the age of 80 years that Tesla, the only man on the globe who could have invented alternating current, cited George Westinghouse as the only man on the Dark Star who could have developed it in spite of the pitiless and ruthless attacks by the forces of darkness, entrenched behind the money screen within his own company. Tesla declared his position as an initiate in this statement about his friend, just as surely as did another initiate who entered into the temple and flayed the moneylenders with a whip. As a Venusian, Tesla was not karmically obliged to deal with moneylenders. His magnificent gesture of tearing up his own contract with Westinghouse showed that as a Venusian he was willing to go to any length to help his friend, knowing full well that Westinghouse was shouldering for all humanity a karmic burden so great that he could scarcely bear up under it. With the aid of Tesla's warm and enduring friendship, he did bear up, giving Tesla's polyphase system to the world, thus eliminating a vast part of society's karmic debt. Tesla voiced a divine pronouncement when he stated that George Westinghouse was one of the world's true noblemen. During the final years of his life, as he neared the age of 80, Tesla was aided by a $7,200 annual honorarium paid to him by the Yugoslav government on behalf of the Tesla Institute at Belgrade. As the hour of Tesla's birth approached, the spaceship on which he was born neared the Earth in a mountain province that is now part of Yugoslavia. As the hour of his death approached, it was Yugoslavia that honored him and supported him financially. The Tesla Institute was opened in Belgrade in 1936, in commemoration of Tesla's 80th birthday. Formal celebrations were held throughout the country over a period of a week, honoring the greatest national hero the Yugoslavs had ever known. The Tesla Institute, endowed by both government and private sources, was equipped with a splendid research laboratory and library. Every bit of writing or information that had any bearing on Tesla and his inventions was collected and made available to research students at the Institute. American students have been deprived of any opportunity to learn about Tesla because his name is seldom mentioned in school books, even science textbooks. In the United States, the nation which Tesla had honored with his citizenship, and the point from which his great inventions had rayed forth like light from a central sun, Tesla passed his 80th birthday quietly. He was interviewed and questioned about his world wireless system for electrical distribution, a system which he had perfected many years before, and which rendered his polyphase system obsolete. He showed not the slightest sign of resentment over the fact that billions upon billions of dollars had been wasted by promoters in a greedy effort to extract the last penny of profit from an electrical system that was as outmoded as a dinosaur. Tesla was comforted by his own inner joyous knowledge that he had not been called to share in commercial exploitations that needlessly sapped the wealth of the world. His philosophy of brotherhood, of friendship toward humanity, of gratitude toward his creator, never wavered. And so he said, when questioned about his world wireless power system, "Perhaps I was a little premature. We can get along without it as long as my polyphase system continues to meet our needs. Just as soon as the need arises, however, I have the system ready to be used with complete success. It is still ready and it is still waiting to be used. Promoters are still withholding from the public the knowledge that such a system exists as an invention, waiting to be used. Promoters are still seeking to expand Tesla's obsolete polyphase system throughout the world, burdening the earth with miles upon miles of needless cables, conduits, wires and posts, providing dangerous playthings for high winds and blizzards. But this is the greedy method by which fortunes are made at the expense of the public. In the new age, only new age methods will be utilized. Very soon now will come the big planetary house cleaning. Then down will come all the cables, conduits, wires and posts, which the public is now paying to have installed. What fools these mortals be! Since Otis T. Carr has now come forth with his free energy devices, it is quite probable that Tesla, working from Shambhala, has in mind a system that will obsolete the world wireless system. But at any rate, as Tesla said on his 80th birthday, the system is there, waiting to be used with complete success if needed. It calls for a small antenna device to be attached atop every house, office building, shop and factory. This device will enable the occupants of the building to have all the electricity they need without meters or wirings. The antenna will pick up a beam supply of current, just as a radio picks up a broadcasted program. Inside the home or building, the electrical service units such as lights, irons, stoves, adding machines, typewriters, and so forth, will be free from wires and plugs for wall outlets. The units will pick up the necessary current beam from the antenna,